Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, here's a great one from Becky. I had to go recon Becky Hillier's Facebook page here. This is a great one. How much of an allowance did you get as a teenager per week? Me, I was allowed to live there.
Isn't that
the
truth?
Allowance. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I never got an allowance. I mean, I was constantly mowing the yard. I was doing all the things. But I had a dishwashing job when I was 10 years old. Been working ever since.
Miles City, yeah. One of my first restaurant jobs was as a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a Mexican restaurant, so that's where I learned a lot of really good Spanish language words.
Colorful words.
Yeah, I mean, I can go to a country where they speak Spanish, and I won't know much, but I'll know how to cuss you out. That's about it.
Well, that's the most important thing, right? in any language.
Do you remember the big racks that you would put the glasses on?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they'd have the little things poking up to the glasses. So at one time we were like, it was like we were sword fighting because I would hold up the dishwasher rack and then, you know, and then the cook guy is like hit me with the dish rag and so I held that up. And then one time, you know, the little white creamer packets,
mm-hmm.
I was holding it up. I was like Zorro, and I squeezed the packet of creamer at him, and it got him right in the face. And he was stunned by that one. That
game on,
exactly.
And then you remember like unloading the dishes out of the dishwasher, and they are hot.
Oh yeah.
And your fingertips would just be purple from touching all the hot dishes. I remember. I thought, man, I'm going to burn off all of my fingerprints if I keep doing this. But it's a great job. Great first job. Worked hard. Yep. Made money. What's better than that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, let's see. Man, all sorts of good stuff to talk about here on this Freedom Friday. We always like to look at the bright side of things with Becky Hillier here. I don't know if you got a chance. We had Brian Gilman in with us studio, CEO of Warriors and Quiet Waters. Great guy. But he's been giving a talk and did a write-up on their website called Anti-Fragile. And he's been talking about anti-fragility and how to combat fragility. And I'll bet you've got some great tips on that front, too, because, you know, you grew up in Miles City, you played basketball, and I'm sure your basketball coaches would have a few choice words if you started getting a little fragile on the basketball court, right?
Well, yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I guess it's just a different time and a different generation, but I followed the example of my parents, and they just got up, they suited up, they showed up, they worked hard, and they never complained. And so, you know, I think they led by example. I didn't even think I had an option to be fragile.
Yeah.
Is that an option? I guess today it is. And I do see it, you know, with kids who are younger, you know, like my kids and everything, because we raise them a little differently. We have a little bit of a softer touch. I think some of our parents back in that generation didn't have that soft touch, but they raised kids who were self-sufficient and independent and really strong and not fragile.
Well, and I wonder, too, if, like, we as a society, we as a culture, like, even take the issue of, I wonder if we're being too soft with everything and we're giving too much power to our problems by focusing too much on problems and victimhood instead of just get on with it. Get on with your day. And anyway, hold that thought. Quick break. Back with Becky after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings ranging from the upper 30s in Bozeman to about 43 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the low to mid 20s, and the outlook for Saturday does call for sunshine. High temperatures from 50 in Bozeman to the mid to upper 50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The coverage has been mostly negative, even among some media conservatives, of the sweeping global tariffs that President Trump imposed yesterday, as high as 54% against China, if you count previous levies, but also against nominal allies or ex-allies like Canada, Mexico, and even Ukraine. But the New York Times, to its credit, has a sidebar piece saying Trump has a point about the global trading system being unfair to the U.S., despite the fact that there is a certain amount of exaggeration and hypocrisy, according to the paper. Now, the problem is the other side of the equation, higher prices in the U.S., also getting a lot of attention. And as Senator John Kennedy, Republican, said, in the long run, this may work, but in the long run, we're all dead. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe. Are you
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Becky Hillier back in the house with us here. Let's see. And by the way, hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation, of course, 406-294-0970. We always like to kick off this Freedom Friday looking at the bright side of things. Yeah, Becky, we were talking a little bit more during the break. Yeah, It's interesting, and it seems like the culture kind of ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe this generation was a little too strict, a little too hard, and then the next generation wants to be softer and kinder mm-hmm. and gentler, and maybe they get a little too kind and gentle, and so. But yeah, it's clear that we do. We have this fragile culture that we're in right now, and you hear about it more so with the younger generations. Yeah. Even in like the military, for example, they talk about how the focus on resiliency is taking place so much in the military right now because the younger generations just are struggling with that more so than the past veterans did necessarily.
Well, I think extremes in anything are not good. So, you know, our generation, our parents, they didn't give us opportunities to really talk about our feelings or process through things. And so we buried those things, pushed them down, and then you've got this new generation that over communicates with everything, and so maybe we can find some middle ground. Like, I think it's good to acknowledge, yes, this happened, that happened, how it makes you feel, but find really positive coping mechanisms. And like you were talking about Warriors Quiet Waters and what they're doing, really what they're doing is giving these veterans an opportunity to reacquaint themselves with something positive that makes them feel good, and so they stop being mired down in all of the bad in their life and the bad memories. They're out in nature and they realize, wow, this is a fun activity. I feel good participating in it. There is still a lot of good and joy to be had out there. So acknowledge that, but don't live in it and stay mired in it. Go out and be proactive and create your own happiness and joy, because it is possible, but you have to get past, you have to deal with it, process it, and move past it.
And the other challenge, too, and I like what Brian Gilman said last night at this event that I got to go to, is that we focus so much on trauma, we focus so much on our challenges that we forget that really what we need to do is focus on that sense of purpose and that mm-hmm. new identity. Because one of the biggest challenges, not just for veterans and former service members, but for anybody who had a job or a sport or something in life, that was that you clearly had a sense of purpose or you had an identity. Mm-hmm. Your identity was, well, you were the high school quarterback and you guys had a great football team. Can anything match that again? Or you were, a military service member. So that was your identity and you had your team and you had this mission and you felt like mm-hmm. you were doing something bigger than yourself. And now you're back to everyday life and you're wondering, well, what's my sense of purpose now? So that can be a challenge for anybody who mm-hmm. retires.
Oh, gosh.
And wonders what's their sense of purpose now.
Absolutely. Purpose is out there just around every corner if you choose to see it. And I think that that's one of the really great things about humans. We are resilient and we can overcome a lot of these challenges if we have the desire to do so. And therapy is a wonderful thing. And therapy comes in a lot of different a lot of different sources and varieties. So therapy might be seeing a traditional therapist to help you work through things. Therapy might be getting on your motorcycle and taking a drive up the Beartooth Pass. It might be going out fishing. It might be playing a game of basketball. But you're right. It's whatever really gets those synapses firing in your brain that creates the dopamine that makes you feel good. Do more of that. Do more of what makes you feel good. And pretty soon those problems will start to decrease and your happiness and joy will increase because you are filling that space that was once filled with so much negativity with so much positivity.
So this is funny. I hadn't even seen this meme on your Facebook page yet, but as we have this conversation about therapy and mental health, and Becky Hillier shared this. My therapist just told me, if you are always having to be the bigger person, maybe you shouldn't be around so many little people.
One of my followers pointed out, and you are very tall.
That'd be hard for Becky Hillier to not be around such little people.
Exactly, but I'm talking about small people intellectually and who lack emotional intelligence and all of those things. Yeah. But yeah, very funny. So
yeah, not height necessarily. Yeah. Another one just for fun. Fruit cocktail. Perhaps the most disappointing of all cocktails.
Although, except when you're a kid. Like, I loved fruit cocktail when I was a kid. Now, maybe not so much.
With the one little maraschino cherry.
Yeah.
And more of the syrupy juice than actual fruit in the fruit cup.
Right. But my friend Tony said, no, I disagree. Fruit cocktail is awesome with a little rum.
Oh, man.
There's that.
Lots to talk about this morning here on Montana Talks. And, of course, Becky's always got a good news, bright side story for us as well. Let me tell you about some good news, you know, with it being springtime, although, you know, I'm looking out our windows. It doesn't look very springy to me, but that's okay. Speaking of your windows, here's a really good deal going on right now. YHIC, your home improvement company, it's their biggest sale of the year. It's a once-a-year event. And it's an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, when it comes to the financing, 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is their biggest sale of the year. Again, 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. Becky, before we get to the next break here, give us a quick teaser for the bright side story of the week.
Well, Shelby Shaw and I were talking in the Nile office this week about the Stetsons and Stilettos fundraiser that's coming up May 2nd. And, you know, of course, you want to publicize that. But I said, you know, we really need to talk to a scholarship recipient. I want to talk to someone who has been impacted positively by that scholarship so people who've donated can find out their story. So I'm going to give an update on one of the kids.
Hey, very cool. That's coming up next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A country that has one of the world's worst problems with obesity and diabetes also has new guidelines to help fight it off. Mexico officially launching a prohibition of junk food sales in its schools. Schools will now forbid any food or beverage displaying even a single black warning logo. Package labeling that began in 2020 indicating the food is high in salt, sugar, calories, and fat. Mexico's education ministry wrote, "Farewell junk food," on social media platform X. The country's tackling of childhood obesity and diabetes is also being watched by other world governments. UNICEF classifies Mexico's childhood obesity the epidemic as an emergency and also notes that Mexico's children eat more junk food than any other country in Latin America. The agency says highly processed foods and sugary drinks account for about 40% of the total calories kids are eating every day. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Spring.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, Montana State University in Bozeman is playing host to the 95th Montana FFA Convention. I caught up with the president of the Montana FFA Association, Miss Jordan Leach, who shared more on all the activities going on in Bozeman this week.
We started our day of service activities. We had those right here on the floor of the brick all morning. We just wrapped up some delegate business sessions, visiting about some items of business that have come up the last year or so. Like you said, we have lots of contests going on as well, CDEs, LDEs at the fairgrounds and on campus. So we're all over the place. And then, yeah, we have an iconic FFA dance tomorrow night right here in the brick, I believe. So we're looking forward to that, too. And then sessions every evening. Lots of stuff going on all over.
Montana FFA has seen significant increases in membership over the past 15 years with over 6,700 FFA members from 110 FFA chapters statewide.
So Montana's association has been growing exponentially in the past few years. We have experienced so much growth in terms of new chapters being chartered, as well as just a growing membership in general. We have tons of new students that are being involved, which is absolutely wonderful. And we're also experiencing a lot more support as well from other organizations and groups outside of the FFA. But we're always looking for more and more support in order to bring more opportunities and experiences to every student that we possibly can throughout the state.
From Bozeman, I'm Lane Nord.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, let's jump into it here. We got a caller on. Actually, this is kind of cool. Nice surprise phone call here. Former Montana Congressman Denny Rehberg on the phone lines.
Hey, Denny.
Good to hear from you, Denny.
How are you,
well,
Denny?
I just want to tell a quick story. You know, politics can be really ugly. But there's a bright side. Chris Christie was so kind to my children when I lost my race against Max Baucus. Sarah Palin spent a lot of time with little Elsie. And Becky Hillier takes the cake. After I lost to Max, the day after, my daughter was feeling pretty bad. She didn't really want to face her friends in school. And Becky said, "Do you mind if I take your daughter and my daughter and go to a movie and spend the day together?" And they did that. I don't remember which movie. Maybe you remember, Becky. But well, I always thought that was a real nice thing that you did for my daughter, Elsie.
Aw, thanks, Denny. Well, Elsie was really special to us and still is. And we knew that because, you know, our daughter was the same age as Elsie, we knew that kids can be really cruel in school. And we knew that the entire campaign she was getting, you know, she had a rough time in school during the campaign. And it was an ugly campaign. And so we knew that night when she lost and she was sitting in our car with us listening to the results come in over the radio, and she was devastated for you. And I looked at Mitch and I said, you know, we can't let her go to school in the morning. She can just come over and hang out with us. So we were happy to help Jenny. And I know that was a really rough time for you and Jan and Elsie. And that's what friends do. You know, we're all a community and we help each other. So we were happy to be there for you, and we always will be.
Well, thank you. That's one of the things I remember from that race, and as you know, politics can be kind of ugly, but there are people out there that make it special as well. Becky Hillier is one of them.
Aww.
Wow.
Thanks, Denny.
That's an incredible story.
That.
Yeah, Denny Rehberg, boy, it was so great to hear from you. You know, Becky, yeah, a lot of people don't think about that. They don't think about the kids and what they face as a result of that. That's why a lot of people probably just don't even run for office.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because they know. You think about a politician, okay, you just either won or you lost, and okay, but you still got to just dust yourself off and put one foot in front of the other, but you forget about the kids out there too.
Yeah, it was tough for her, you know, and we would see her at different events, and Elsie is an awesome, awesome young lady, wise beyond her years, even when they were in high school. And when we first moved here in 2007, my daughter McKenna and Elsie became good friends at Boulder Elementary. And so for a couple of years, they were besties, and we got to know the Rehbergs really well. And Elsie, you know, she was so mature, and I'm glad that she was mature because she could handle it a lot better than some other kids could. She was an old soul, but she was so devastated for her dad that night when he lost to Tester. And so I just thought, you know, she's going to get pummeled at school. And Jan and Denny needed some time, too, to kind of process things. So yeah. It was great. And she was an awesome kid. She could have stayed at my house for a long time.
You know, even in victory, I mean, look at what, you know, the attacks against Tim
absolutely.
Sheehy. And, you know, he brought his kids with him a lot of places. I thought it was so cool after, you know, after he won the election in 2024, he shared a story where he had to bring his kids with him to the MSU campus in Bozeman mm-hmm. because his wife was volunteering with Special Olympics of Montana, and she had a board meeting. So he brought the kids to this meeting on the MSU campus. And he mentioned how he was really nervous to bring his kids
yeah.
because of just how nasty, you know, the Tester campaign was. But then he showed up. He said the kids at MSU were high-fiving him. They were getting selfies with him. They cheered when he walked through the cafeteria.
That's great.
So how cool is that? So
that's really great.
So there's some good moments, too. But it takes me back to a quote here that Brian Gilman, who joined us in the 6 o'clock hour, shared in his anti-fragile blog post. Let's see. I'm not good at Greek, but there was an ancient Greek poet and warrior who had this quote. Be brave, my heart. Plant your feet and square your shoulders to the enemy. Meet him among the man-killing spears. Hold your ground. In victory, do not brag. In defeat, do not weep.
That's great. Doesn't that remind you of The Greatest Generation?
Yeah.
That visual?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so anyway, Brian Gilman wrote, he said, this is the call to anti-fragility, to face life's battles with courage, to find purpose and meaning in the struggle, mm-hmm. and to emerge stronger. So
that's
it really is a good
awesome.
Write-up.
That's yeah. powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. We'll get to the bright side story here in just a second. But the Stetsons and Stilettos, for folks who've never been to that
yeah.
event before, it's really kind of one of the hallmark fundraising events.
It really is. It's the annual fundraiser for the Nile Foundation to raise money for scholarships for students who want to pursue careers in agriculture. And this year, you know, Aaron, we talk a lot about the new generation coming up, the millennials. Well, the fundraisers and galas of the past that their moms and dads went to don't necessarily really fit into their life, not super attractive. So we've kind of had to reimagine Stetsons and Stilettos this year. It has a more laid-back, casual atmosphere. There's a band, Exit 53, will be playing that night. It's going to be great.
That reminds me of like the Gate Show in Glendive.
Yeah.
So, you know, the younger folks are on the board now, so they're like, why don't we have a bar?
They don't want to dress up in evening gowns. Or
why don't we open it earlier?
Yeah.
You know, maybe people will do more business that
yeah.
way. And I think this is coming up. This is the big Nile Foundation scholarship fundraiser coming up May 2nd, less than a month away. That brings us into the bright side story of the day here as well. Sometimes it's a national story. Sometimes it's a story out of Western Montana. But, yeah, Becky, tell us the good news story here today.
Well, Stetsons and Stilettos has been providing scholarship money to kids who want to pursue careers in agriculture since 1990. And since 1990, in 35 years, $1.43 million has been donated to 352 kids. They've received these scholarships. And all different types of scholarships. We have live animal scholarships through the Merit Heifer Program. And then, you know, the financial scholarships to help them go to college. So when Shelby and I were talking about Stetsons and Stilettos and the raising of the money for scholarships, I said, you know, it's what we're asking is for people to come and donate their hard-earned money. And then a lot of times they leave these events, and there are a number of really worthy events out there, but they donate their money, they leave their events, and they don't really see or hear about how it's benefited somebody. So we found a former scholarship recipient. She graduated from Billings West in 2022. Her name is Reagan Nansel. She was born and raised in Billings and a member of 4-H her whole life. She was a recipient of the Live Animal Scholarship through the Merit Heifer Program, which aims to give kids an entry into the beef cattle industry. They have this heifer that they co-own with the Nile, and upon completion of the program, that heifer is signed over to them so they can start their own herd. So great program. And then when she was getting ready to graduate high school, she applied for a scholarship. She received that scholarship. It's called a rolling scholarship. So she receives $1,000 every year for 4 years to help her with her education. She's attending Montana State University, studying agriculture, economics. She eventually wants to go to law school. And the reason she is studying agriculture is because she was so immersed in agriculture around the people who work so hard to feed our nation, feed our state in Montana's number one industry. And she gave me a couple of great quotes that I want to share because I think, you know, a lot of people think for kids in 4-H FFA, they have to come from a rural area and they have to go to a small school or whatever it is. But she graduated from West, always involved in 4-H. And she said, agriculture has shaped every part of who I am. Growing up in this industry taught me the value of hard work, resilience, and community. It's not just a career path for me. It's a way of life that I'm committed to preserving and advocating for. She also said, receiving this scholarship from the Niall Foundation means more than financial support. It's a recognition of the work I've put in and a reminder that there's a network of people who believe in the next generation of agriculture. It allows me to continue my education and give back to the industry that raised me. So she took it to heart, and she's going to help other people in the agriculture industry for
generations to come. And it's a great story because you hear these from small towns all the time,
right.
Rural Montana, but the fact that a town kid, a kid in,
right.
in the big town of Billings
right.
is taking part in this is really cool. I appreciate it. Always great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Becky Hillier, thanks for your time here on this Freedom Friday.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, real quick, let me share a couple of headlines from our Montana Talks website. I heard from somebody last night. They were driving I-90 past Big Timber, and they said, hey, what the heck's going on in Big Timber? There's a bunch of cop car lights, a bunch of emergency vehicles out there. Near the gas stations, what the heck's happening out there? Well, we quickly got the news on our Montana Talks website. The Montana Highway Patrol took down a fugitive near Big Timber. The Montana Highway Patrol officials reported two of their troopers were involved in a critical incident near Big Timber Thursday afternoon. The situation escalated after officials received information that a male fugitive from Nebraska with a no bond warrant for threatening to use explosives or place bombs had entered Montana, and the suspect ended up firing at the troopers. Anyway, we've got the full write-up on our Montana Talks website right now. We've also got another headline here. Several more illegal aliens arrested in Montana's Flathead Valley. You can see all the details on our Montana Talks website. Great to have our next guest in studio here, back on the job, acting U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy in the house. Kurt, great to see you, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Great to see you, Aaron, and boy, you're looking good.
Well,
it must be those 23 flights of stairs you walk every morning.
It's a Billings Last Diet. Have you heard about Billings Last Diet? Yeah, that's right. I did my my tune-up here recently. Well, it's good to see you. You're looking good as well, my friend. President Trump appointed you as U.S. attorney in his first term. He's bringing you back for the second term as well. Here you're now the acting U.S. attorney. First off, congratulations on that front.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, it's great to get a chance to come back and finish the work we started 8 years ago.
Well, man, these last 4 years, whoa. I mean, you look at the crime, the open borders, everything that's going on. I mean, you had a tough job 8 years ago, let alone today.
Yeah, as soon as COVID hit, that changed everything. You know, we were reducing violent crime across the state and bending that crime curve, and then COVID hit and things changed. And now, you know, we're still dealing with a 10% higher crime rate than we had in 2019, even though it started to come back down in the last couple of years. And in Yellowstone County here, or in Billings, it's even higher, where it's, we still are up 35% above where we were in 2019. That's down from the high in 2021, thanks to the good work and outstanding efforts of our our troopers, our sheriff's deputies, our police officers, our prosecutors who've been working diligently through the end of COVID and through the last couple of years to try to get back on top of this issue. But we're getting there.
It was so great to see the news earlier this week. I mean, I've talked at length about the open borders, the illegal aliens, the Mexican drug cartels, the Trende Aragua illegal alien gang members in this state. But one of the things we've been talking about over the last several years, you know, during the Biden administration was they allowed all these illegal aliens to come in and it helped crime surge, especially in Indian country. And we've been talking about the need for more law enforcement in Indian country. Tribal leaders have been talking about the need for more federal law enforcement. And boom, now, thanks to, you know, President Trump's Attorney General Pam Bondi, FBI Director Kash Patel, and U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy here, just earlier this week, you announced that news. They're doing just that, surging FBI resources into Indian country.
Exactly right. And that's very exciting. Attorney General Bondi, FBI Director Patel announced, it's called Operation Not Forgotten, and they'll be surging 60 FBI special agents over a six-month period out into Native American reservations to help us address unresolved violent crime, including crimes related to missing and murdered indigenous women.
What will those resources do on the ground level?
So they're going to do two things. Some of them will do independent investigations or cold case investigations. Others are going to come in and help take work off the plate of those agents who right now are working those cases. And I want to, you know, say thanks to all the FBI agents, all the BIA agents, tribal law enforcement out there who are working those cases every day.
What's the caseload like for you? I mean, you were on the job before, so you know what the job entails. What's it like stepping into the job now in 2025 compared to 2017?
So, like I said, crime's up. You know, crime's up 10% statewide, or violent crime's up 10% statewide. So there is plenty of work to do, and just so grateful to see the work of our prosecutors and those of the county attorneys across the state, as well as tribal prosecutors who are taking these cases from all of our law enforcement who are putting their lives at risk every day out there working against these drug cartels, drug trafficking organizations, and other violent crime.
You know, it was crazy. I was talking with Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla the other day, Shelby, Montana. That's where these Trende Aragua gang members were arrested at, along with a U.S. citizen who was smuggling these illegal aliens in the country. And as I read through some of the federal court documents, you know, the affidavit put together, I was like, wow, there's a lot of background here. I said, you know, this information must have been compiled over several months, if not years. I said, this didn't just get, you know, basically like this woman and these Trende Aragua suspects, I imagine, were on federal law enforcement's radar before January 20th of 2025, right? And Sheriff Padilla basically confirmed that. Yeah, I mean, he said that they've had all these encounters with these illegal aliens on, you know, on the northern border chunk of Montana, and they'll get arrested and picked up by local law enforcement. They pass them over to Border Patrol and federal law enforcement. And under the Biden administration, they were just putting these illegal aliens right back out on the streets. And so, but now, they're being deported, and the U.S. citizen who's smuggling them is being prosecuted in federal court. It's finally.
Yeah, you're reaching right into the primary initiative of the president and the attorney general for law enforcement. It's called Operation Take Back America. Earlier this year, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche announced it. It has three goals, very similar to the goals we've had before with Project Safe Neighborhood. Protecting our communities from violent crime and drug trafficking, and then also two expanded purposes that you're referring to. One of them is to eliminate the cartels and the transnational criminal organizations that have come into our country, and also to stop the large flow of illegal immigrants. So, you know, we've had in our toolbox for some time firearms charges, drug charges, human trafficking charges that we can use when we encounter dangerous people in the community. Now we're going to have our immigration charges at our disposal, too, to help us identify and get these people off the street, either through criminal prosecution or through administrative deportation.
And so I'm assuming when it comes to, like, some of these cases, like, if you have illegal aliens, obviously they can be immediately turned over to ICE and then processed for removal, deportation, et cetera. Or, likewise, if they've committed some hardcore serious crimes, prosecuted or other measures that could be put in place. But the U.S. citizens, of course, will be prosecuted if they have a role in this.
That's right. And again, what we're trying to do through Operation Take Back America, and again, it's encompassed part of what we still call Project Safe Neighborhood, which was invigorated in 2017 to help deal with what was then a rising violent crime problem. And as we've talked about, got worse through COVID. The idea here is to focus on identifying the most violent offenders in our communities, including drug dealers, and then getting them off the street. And PSN has been successful. It's proven successful around the country because what happens is we get good collaboration among federal law enforcement, state, tribal, and local. And in Montana, we work together well, and the prosecutors work well, both in our office, tribal prosecutors, and the county attorney's offices, to be sure that we're maximizing resources and getting synergies from working together. And so we're optimistic that with this renewed focus through Operation Take Back America and additional resources and focus on the southern border to stop the inflow of additional illegal aliens and hopefully stop the inflow of cartel and transnational criminal organizations, that we're going to start making real headway.
We look at everything that the Trump administration accomplished in his first term as president after the 2016 elections, and you were there to see it firsthand and to see the progress and to see the accomplishments. But, man, that the team's even more on fire this go-around. But, of course, they've got bigger problems on their hands after the last 4 years as well. What's the difference like in the Trump team now compared to, say, 2017 from what you've seen?
Well, I think the problems are different, Aaron, like you pointed out. What's happened with the border and with the surge of illegal aliens coming across the country, and with them, the transnational criminal organizations. MS-13 certainly has a bigger presence here. Trinidad Aragua has a bigger presence in the country than we used to have. And the drug cartels are well established in our country. So those problems, those big intransigent problems, are more serious to deal with. And they start at the southern border.
Yeah. Do you think the TDA operatives or the drug cartels or other illegal aliens here in Montana, do you think they're getting the message, or do you think they still think they can hide? They still think they can kind of bide their time?
Well, they should. They should. If you're committing a violent crime in Montana, you will be arrested and you will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Not the time to mess around. I think Dan Bongino used to have an acronym for that, something about messing around and finding out, to use a more family-friendly version of it. All right, stand by. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Acting U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy in the house. You can message us on the Montana Talks app here during the break. We'll be back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump signed an executive order to protect fans from price gouging and predatory ticket scalping. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Cain Podcast.
I watched the entire Doge interview with Bret Baier. My takeaway is, for all the people out there burning Teslas and painting penises on the door, I think you're living in an alternate reality where you believe these guys are all a bunch of computer hacker nerd kids who've been hired by Elon to execute his wishes. These are impressive people, accomplished people, who are coming in going, this is crazy the way all this is run.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
This week, flanked by his longtime ally Kid Rock, President Trump signed an executive order targeting ticket scalpers and other predatory behavior in the live entertainment ticketing industry. The order directs the FTC to work with the AG to ensure competition laws in the concert and ticketing industry are observed. The order also requires full price transparency in the ticket purchasing process, including the resale market. President Trump is committed to making concerts and other live events affordable again. He believes the greedy middlemen, the scalpers, and online bots are jacking up the price of tickets, with the artists and the talent themselves seeing no benefit. The entertainment industry may not be pro-Trump, Taylor Swift, but I hope some of the haters in the industry can appreciate their president looking out for them and their fans. A big thank you once again to President Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today. High temperature readings ranging from the upper 30s in Bozeman to about 43 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Lows from the low to mid-20s, and the outlook for Saturday. Does call for sunshine. High temperatures from 50 in Bozeman to the mid-upper 50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather. On Montana Talks, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Oh, man, they got me. I haven't been fooled by an April Fool's joke in a long time, but when Explore Whitefish shared an announcement on their Facebook page that Bravo was announcing Desperate Housewives of Whitefish, Montana, a new reality show, I totally thought it was real, and so did a lot of other folks. You got to go check out the comments on this story. I've got it at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the final whimper of
Call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to have Acting U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy join us for a few more minutes here. Kurt, you know, back to this Operation Not Forgotten that was announced, a surge of FBI resources to Indian country, long needed, long overdue here, especially given the surge in crime that has hit Indian country in particular in the last 4 years. But a part of that, there's what are there, like 4,300 open investigations across Indian country, and of course, a big high-profile chunk of that are what are referred to as the MMIP cases, the missing and murdered indigenous persons cases. You were telling me during the break, not only are we going to see a surge in resources dedicated to MMIP, but we're better prepared this time around to go after that problem set as well.
Yeah, we are, Aaron. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, through the efforts of a lot of other groups, grassroots organizations, nonprofits, as well as emphasis from the Department of Justice and the FBI, the BIA, we're seeing improvement in that area, as well as the state of Montana, I should add. I think the top line item here is we now, all of the tribal communities in Montana have what we call tribal community response plans. So if an individual goes missing, there's a plan that can activate for law enforcement, for non-law enforcement community organizations, and also to get word out to the public about what's happening. So those things can activate and all community resources can be brought to bear to try to locate the person, be sure we get current information on the missing person, help that person be found, and then to communicate with the families and the public about what's going on with the investigation. So that's been a big step forward. We also have, the two databases out there, NAMIS, the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, which is, again, national. And then at the Montana Department of Justice, we have the Montana DOJ Missing Persons Database. So if anybody is aware of someone who goes missing, be sure to report to local law enforcement right away. But if you have information about someone who's missing that's unaccounted for, be sure to let those two organizations know so that those databases can pick up those individuals and the cases can go forward. But the main item is, if you have information about someone who has gone missing, whether on one of our reservations or off, please come forward and let law enforcement know.
I've heard that's been a challenge from, you know, local law enforcement and others before, is that, like, hey, we need local folks to share information. You need to share information with law enforcement. I know I've heard that sometimes there's been a hesitancy on that front, but it's like, you know, if you're concerned about missing and murdered indigenous persons in your own communities, share that information with law enforcement, especially now with this surge of law enforcement coming in. I had a message come in on our Montana Talks app. This was from, is it Logan in Billings? Before we deport illegal aliens, are we entering their information into a database so we can track them if they're coming back, you know, things like biometrics, et cetera? I feel like I can safely say, yes, we do that. Our Border Patrol does that. I mean, I know they've got some of the same tools I have when I was in the military collecting biometrics. We'd have to ask Border Patrol for a more specific answer on that.
But. Yeah, but the federal government does track individuals, whether an illegal immigrant enters our system through the administrative process for deportation or through the criminal justice process, that their information is taken. And then, for instance, if they're to return, we have that information that they were previously deported or they previously committed a crime, and that, of course, figures into someone's criminal history just like it would anyone else who's a repeat offender.
All right, U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy. Let's see. You know, we've only got about 30 seconds to go. Greatly appreciate your time. You had one more point you wanted to make?
There is. I also want to say that we're in a better situation now because of some of the organization that we have to bring our tribal governments into this process. I know at the state we have our Montana Missing Person Indigenous Task Force that the legislature has created, and the governor and attorney general have been interested in, and that's a wonderful opportunity for the tribes to help us all work together to take responsibility to try to find these individuals.
All right, Kurt Almy, great to have you in studio talking about Operation Not Forgotten and Operation Take Back America. About time our federal law enforcement are able to do their jobs and then get these folks prosecuted as well. Great to see you. Thanks for your time. George Blackard in next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Berger.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.